Okay. So, this morning. So we started a new series last week called Bridging Blocks. And we spoke a little about some values that we have. And so this morning, I'm going to rest up and Bridget's going to preach. So she's under pressure. So Father God, we come to you. If you pray with me, reach out your hand. Lord God, we thank you that Bridget is a gift to this church, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for that gift, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that even as she opens her mouth to speak, you would fill her once again, re-anoint her, fill her to overflow. Lord God, that her word would come forth. Lord God, that we would see your words, your scriptures, your life imparted to us, Lord God, as we progress through this message this morning. And so, God, we ask that salvation will come to this house today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, my darling husband, Mark, and our team for letting me loose again up here. It's amazing how the butterflies don't fly in formation necessarily until you stand here. And look at all my friends' faces, and I feel immediately better. So thank you for your prayers. So today, we, as Mark said, we continue our series on bridging blocks. Last week, we looked at the introduction of this is who we are. Remember, this is who we are. And part of that are our five e-grace values. Okay, so there's a slide. It's there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, okay. So the first one, encounter God. These are all our five e-grace values. Encounter God. Engage people, equip saints, empower leaders, and to extend the kingdom. We don't do any of that well unless we encounter God first. So today, this week, I'm preaching on the value of engaging people. Okay. So, bear with me. There's some scriptures here that I want to read out that are so powerful. To start off with, we heard last week at this new and very beautifully Holy Spirit-led statement. At the Bridge, that's us, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. Really a great, profound value to hold dear in our hearts. Get it in your heads and your hearts, and that's who we are. That's what we do as the Bridge family. To take that message out there because we are the Bridge. Okay. So, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God is an engaging spirit from the Garden of Eden until today, right? He's engaged mankind. Our mandate in Matthew 28, okay, to go, is to engage people. That's it in a nutshell. We are called to engage all people, not just believers, okay, from all walks of life, as a bridge to our community. And really, the more I say the Bridge, the Bridge, the Bridge, the more my identity here actually just settles in my heart. That this is what we are in this community, a bridge to the community, all right? Because we want to engage people at every level, every strata, every level together, and show them the Father's heart for them. So there are many, 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 many tools to have in our tool belt, but I've actually listed five because I think that they are the major tools that we need as the Bridge family to actually engage people. The first one, and obviously the most important one, is love. Okay, God is love. Be consistently loving. Be consistently loving. Be consistently loving. Okay? You know, I had to ask myself a question because as I prepared, obviously the hard questions came to me first. And so I had to actually ask this question to myself, which I didn't really like all that much. But anyway, it says, do I see or do we see the unsaved people out there as unlovely? Hard, eh? Because sometimes we think, well, I have, especially coming from the continent that I do, You're not like me. You don't know what I know. You don't look like me. You don't smell like me. You don't behave like me. But God sees them as exquisite. Okay. So 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, these are hard words, but that's it's scripture, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Love the message. Loving God includes loving people. That's it. Blunt. Okay. You've got, we've got, scripture says you, that's us, have got to love both God and people. And then, of course, we all know the scripture, but these particular verses in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7 say, love, again from the message, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. There go my early mornings. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. I love those words, I got your back. They're cool words, right? You can respond, you know. I don't want to give you flip cards because I haven't got any. But you can say, yes, I like that. Thank you. I guess I know who that is. The second one, these are beautiful attributes of our King Jesus. Compassion, grace, and kindness. Absolutely beautiful characteristics of Jesus. The third is to be approachable. Be ready in and out of season. Not just when we're having a good day. Be ready in and out of season. Not just when we're having a great day. It's being back to being consistent. I love, when I said in number one, be consistently loving. I personally, hot tip, I love consistency. I flourish when there's consistency. We do in the ministry live a roller coaster of emotions. People aren't well, people are in crisis, then there's a baby born. So on one day you can be like that. But consistent hearts are a truly beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. The fourth is being trustworthy. A yes is yes, a no is no, and be consistently trustworthy. Be real and authentic. You know, I did a marketing course years ago, and it was in the days of, I think, Tim Robbins. And one of the things that I picked up there, it was just the start of people actually not wanting to be sold something. They didn't want to be sold something. They wanted to have the privilege of buying it. Okay. There's such a difference. And so when we try and thrust the Bible or thrust our belief, our personal belief, on somebody without wisdom, which is next, sometimes we can actually make that person step a little bit away. Right? Just saying. All right. Because we've got somebody absolutely beautiful. Three people. Wonderful, wonderful, awesome people to introduce them to. And the way we present, always the way that we present ourselves is what people are looking for. They're looking for reality. They're looking for authenticity. We do not float 3 feet above the ground. You might. Not I. Okay. The fifth one is wisdom. Scripture says in Proverbs, if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Okay? And don't always think the person with the loudest voice is the wisest. Not always. Can be. But there's an attraction, like a butterfly or a moth to a flame. with these things. This, the spiritual heart, is what we need to actually have ears with. Okay. And obviously the fifth is, as I said, was wisdom. I'll expand on that one a little bit later. Mark's mom, Joyce, my darling mother-in-law, used to say that there is nobody who knows better how a Christian should behave than a non-believer. Believers know exactly how Christians should behave. And when we don't, it's like, what do you think you're doing? I thought you were a Christian. Huh? So how are we doing? Right? How are we doing? When we're out and about and in the public eye, how do we behave? How do we represent the Holy Spirit in us? What kind of ambassador are we? We know firsthand, with traveling around, the bureaucracy and the proletariat system that actually is in all the most of the embassies. Okay? Because they're ambassadors and them's the rules. Like that. Okay? There's no other way around it. We have met wonderful people. But in this last 2 weeks, we've had a personal experience with Mark getting his visa. Just a little aside, telling a testimony. He going to Poland. It's all new. The Polish embassy is in a completely, it might as well be out of Siberia to us because it's like right the other side of, you need 10 GPSs to get there. Okay, all in working order and not the phone, we discovered. Okay. So now Mark goes in and you know that he hasn't been himself. So he goes in to the thing. And he's got, yes, Mark's other persona. And he goes, and of course he hasn't got the right documents. Oh my goodness, this is like back to Pickering, back to there, back to, fine. He goes back again and hands them in and was told to go last week. But that lady, I haven't spied her because I was in the getaway car, okay? She, laugh, you can laugh loud. She actually looked at Mark apparently and said, "Hello, Mr. Elwood, how are you? How's your health?" And you know immediately what she did? She put out the hand of Poland to my husband. It's going to be all new. Eat pierogies and pork. Maybe no pork. But it's going to be all new. But this, and I'll be eating biltong. No, I won't. But that lady put out her hand and extended Poland to Mark just in that one statement. Isn't that beautiful? I brought that as an example because we are the handshake into heaven, actually. Right? We are. Okay. So, but if she'd been perfunctory and cold and foreign, excuse the pun, okay, what would Mark have you would have gone? Oh, everybody in Poland. He might not have consciously thought it, but all Christians are like that one. If all Christians are like that one, I don't want part of that kingdom. Huh? So just a little analogy. Because we need to remember whose kingdom we are representing. Yes. So Paul says, be all things to all men. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, again in the message. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, isn't that a nice place to be? I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings, my compass in Christ Jesus. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message, the gospel. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. I wanted to be in on it. Okay. So sometimes we get this, like my attitude is like fixed and that's not going to change. No, not for anything. Is this thing going to be, it's going to be fixed and immovable. This is who I am. This is how I do it. This is how I see it. This is how I speak and just the rest of you, right? It's unattractive, actually. But is our attitude fixed or is it flexible with those that we come into contact with? I didn't say compromised. We don't compromise the gospel. But I am saying be flexible with whoever the Lord brings across your path to encourage them into the kingdom, into the God-saved life. See, Paul's passion was winning souls to Christ. He understood that people must be reached in different ways. We get that, right? Reached in different ways. So he constantly adapted his approach to them. So if we apply that same approach to our lives, to our workplace, to our schools, to our universities, to our groups, to whatever, okay, flexible, we will find that the Lord, I'm sure of it, I have experienced it, will bring a whole plethora of different types across your path. And you might think, swimmingly, I don't know what's going on here, but when we do have that willingness to, with his love, to adapt to where they're at, to share love to them, then listen. Because everybody needs to be loved. It doesn't matter, Mr. Grumpy with his vegetable cart at the Top Shop. Doesn't matter. Everybody, every one of us needs affirmation and love. And there's something very different about the pure and beautiful love that should flow from us because the Holy Spirit is in us. So, how we communicate the gospel matters. Let's do it well. Okay. So, because a person's response to Christ is their response to Christ, and it's in sovereign hands, his hands, so we don't actually have any control over it. Okay. But the hearing of the gospel is our responsibility. And not just the hearing, the doing. Okay, there's a doing. It's a doing word. It's a verb sometimes, okay? Just lately, I think, I'm just going to say this. Let us not, at the bridge, treat people like projects. People are not projects. God brings people to be loved. That's it. We've had the prophetic words, the burnt stones, the whole, remember? People are not projects. They are to be loved. And with him in us, that should be the natural thing to do, to love them. Sometimes you need to love a little bit firmly, but love them nonetheless because they need him and we're it. Okay. So I had to come to a realization that I couldn't fix anybody. I've said this to the woman. I am not a fixer. The Holy Spirit is the fixer. He's the one that digs deep like those motions we were doing today that I only realized halfway through I was supposed to be doing. Anyway, I swam backwards. I did backstroke a few times. But seriously, he brings them to be treated gently, lovingly, restored gently, Scripture says. And you know, listening is a great key. Listening. It's a gift, I'm convinced of it. People need to talk. I'm not talking about gossip. I'm talking about people need to let the inside out. And if we try and talk over them with things that we know better, and we might well know better. But when we try and do that, it's like that. Okay? You know, this Christianese that we use. Jesus died. This is all true, so please do not hear what I am not saying. Jesus died for your sins. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? And the unchurched, un-Jesus-ed person is thinking, I'm going to give my life to a dead man? How does that work? And they say, come and die. Another one. Come and die. Jesus says, come to me and die. Think about what we know what that is. The ones we're trying to engage, not a clue. So instead of stepping back, they are like jumping off the cliff backwards from us, okay? All right. I don't even know why I put this in, but as a child in Durban, walking to school, there was a little dry cleaning shop. And they had a big sign in the window. I think they might have been believers. It said, you live to die. we die to live, which was D-Y-E. Okay, so I kind of thought about that, and I don't know why I put it in, but anyway, you can now laugh a little bit. It's okay. You see, there's so many things that we say as we're engaging people as believers. Dan didn't get that. You did? D-Y-E. Okay. There's so many things that we say that we have a lingo. All right. And these people, these darlings that the Lord is bringing to us to engage, saying, I've got to learn a new language too already before I'm accepted. Think about it. Okay. So, when we embark on this exciting adventure of engaging people, let's have a little checklist because we need to be self-aware. This is not something I necessarily enjoy, but I have to be sober about myself. I have to look in the mirror and say, how, Bridget, are you doing? Have you said anything that you should correct? Have you thought these awful things? Say sorry. Have you? So there is a little bit of self-awareness that is very good because this is interesting. I'm sure you all know it was something quite new to me, that we all have an IQ and we also have an EQ. Now, the IQ obviously is the intellectual quotient and the EQ is the emotional quotient. And I just want to tell you, when you are with people who don't know the first thing about what it means to come into here, for example, and you try and operate out of your IQ, nothing wrong with it. I'm not an intellectual genius, trust me. But when you're operating out of a heart, the emotional quotient, the EQ, it has staggering impact on people. Staggering impact. Because they're seeing the heart of God in and through you that they ain't seen before. And there is the attraction. I always think of Jesus walking along the banks of Sea of Galilee going, follow me. And there are these guys just dropping everything and just saying, okay, see you round. I'm following him. How incredibly attractive he must be to have just said, come, follow me. And these guys went. And they say that he wasn't exactly hunky by our standards, but there was an inner, I can't even find a word, something so profoundly gorgeous about him that they trusted immediately. They wanted to be around. It was like a monarch butterfly to Point Pelee. I don't know where that is. I've been there. You know where that is? You do. Yes. I just thought I'd just show you some geography with you. We got all the way there. There were no butterflies, but nonetheless, I know that's where they go. But really, think about our Savior and how marvelous and exquisite he is for people to, when they get to know him and get to know him like we do even more. How do you leave that? How do you step back away from him? We want him to be engaging for the people to come in. You know, God saved sinners to save sinners. He saved sinners for us to save sinners. Okay. So, the impact on people when we are actually operating out of an excellent heart motive. As Christians, a little bit of poetic license here. Our hearts are what should be the most impactive and endearing. They're going to like you for your heart. They're going to listen up because of your heart. More than they are going to listen up because of your wonderful, our wonderful, not mine, yours, cleverness. That's what's going to attract them. Because they see him. They don't know they're seeing him yet. But there's something about you that they want to know more. Why are you like that? Who is it that's made you like that? How can you have faith when I know what you're going through and you're still smiling and praising this unknown to me God These are the questions that the unchurched and the unbless you and the un-Jesus-dids are asking themselves. That's what they should be wondering. What is it about you that is so wonderfully different? I want that. So here are some handles, some how-tos. Okay. Wherever we are, be aware. Wherever we are. Sometimes I go to the shops and I don't give it a thought. And then afterwards I realize, oh, that was the Holy Spirit brought that person. Or I spoke to them and might not even have been about the things of God. It might have been about what's that lasagna that's different to my lasagna. Been something that there's a conversation starter. You need a conversation starter. So now, just about to call somebody. I haven't quite made up my mind who yet, and they don't know. Yes. God has given us a community to engage. He's given us jobs to engage people, and He's given us, placed us in schools and universities, the opportunity to engage people. He's given us people all over the place. It's about people populating the kingdom of God. That is what it's about. Neighbors, shops, businesses, wherever you go. Even Rogers, we had a horrible situation with our internet for 5 days. And the man who eventually came yesterday morning stayed for 2.5 hours, not because of our internet. I kind of half expected him at the door this morning. But we ended up in deep conversation with this man. He asked what we were doing here. So we told him. And that led to all this and prayer for he and his family and his children. It was just a stunning reminder of we could have said, thank you so much, Wi-Fi is working, have a good day, would you like some coffee? It didn't work like that, because God actually doesn't work like that. We work like that. But God did something sovereign yesterday that didn't just lift this man, hopefully, but it lifted the three of us just stood staring at each other. We didn't want him to go, but he had to go, and they had to go, and I had to prepare, and it was wonderful. It just elevated our, God, you're in everything. You're even in the Wi-Fi. Right? You're even at Rogers. Sorry, Ken. You're even at Rogers. Okay. My goodness. And I thought it was only Telus. Sorry, Kevin. Oh, my God. We've got to have fun. Please. We have to have fun as believers, right? Yes. Thank you, Richard. Okay. Never miss an opportunity to engage whoever, 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 whoever. Never miss that opportunity. So now I want to, let me think and see. Who doesn't have to get close? Trish, you close. Come. Up. So here she is, and we all know how beautiful she is inside and out. Okay. And normally in a grocery line, I'd probably be terrified of your beauty. I would immediately feel 95, okay, and fat and all that stuff, okay, but here she is, beautiful, beautifully decked out,
feeling 65.
And I would just look at her, and even so, this is just an example of how stuff can happen, right? Even so, I would glance at her. No cheek from you. I've got the mic.
I'm a Scarborough chick.
But there's so much that I could say about her. There is so much. I could say, hey, you love that pink. Are those high heel boots? No, you see, she's a Christian. She's taking them off and giving them to me already. But actually, if her arms are full of her children and a grocery trolley, I'm bringing it right down to basics here, I would be able to say to her, can I help you? Hey, how about can I hang back and see that she hasn't bought the entire shop, of course, but say to my friend and smile at her. And then at the end of that, just wait, slide the debit card in. And then if she even knows about it, say, it's from Jesus. She's going to cry because she's having a heck of a day. She's busy. Still looks gorgeous. Had a tough day at work, right?
Always.
Always, okay.
Always.
always, have got two healthy and wonderful children to look after. Always.
What?
Have got to think of what to make for supper.
I have a meal plan.
Oh. So, she's not only a Christian, she's a Proverbs 31 woman. How do I handle that? So, don't you feel sorry for me?
A meal plan for you.
You see, we're friends already. Thanks, Trish. But there's so many ways that we can actually befriend people wherever we go. Hey, don't you think? It's an adventure that God has actually got us in. It's not scary. Shouldn't be. Because you're talking about mundane things where she's at. Obviously got two children in one cart, trolley, cart, cart. Sorry, see, there are things I have to forget. Eh? Yeah. But there's so much. If somebody's wearing a cross around their neck, my goodness. Clue. Is that 18 carat? 9 carat? I can see you're a convert. 22 carat. Okay. It doesn't matter. Let the Holy Spirit give you creativity. Because I'm telling you, 1 will lead to 5, will lead to 10, will lead to all the time that you're out there, you can have such fun. I have fun out there. I'm telling you, and not because I'm smart. You know, I'm not. But when I get home, I don't know, sometimes I don't know when, I think, oh, Mark's going to be so bored if I tell him the story. But you know what? There are beautiful little pearls and oysters in my life that haven't got anything to do with this place. I try and bring this place in, obviously, after Jesus, you know. But there are so many things that you can do. Come stand with me. We're going to pray for that. Never lose sight of the fact that we are his mouth, his hands, his feet, as we wait for his return. You are valuable to the kingdom. You have lots to give and pour in to people's lives. Be kind, compassionate, considerate, consistent, loving always. Be true to your word. Be trustworthy. Above all else, love them. Love them. They are not going to know what you know necessarily. But they are longing to be touched. They are longing for a God who we know is the true God to reach down from heaven through us and love them as we engage them. Father, you see this beautiful Bridge family, every one of us, Lord, with our questions and our, gee, Lord, would you ever use me questions? And Lord, I want to be used, but I'm afraid to be used. But I want you, Holy Spirit, to give me creativity. I want you to give me words of encouragement. I want to be a Barnabas to the community, Lord. I want to be able to look at somebody and very gently, knowing it's you, in a lingo they'll understand, bring them a word of encouragement. Help me, Lord Jesus, to engage all that you put across my path. Give me unique opportunities, unique ways to open conversation. Show me unique things about their culture, about what I see, what you see. Show me. Give me your eyes for everyone, Lord God, that you bring across my path. Above all, Holy Spirit, help me to love them absolutely, unconditionally. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.